First in family, what's going on? What you just witnessed, if you were quick on the draw and first on the call, was a mental reset. It's been a day. Yeah. But what's going on, everybody? It's Saturday. Saturday. Not really the same thing. But it is time for a Q&A. And we actually have some questions today, which is kind of cool. It's kind of cool to have purpose and have direction and have questions to answer on a Q&A. So if you turned in some questions, we're going to get to them. And if you didn't, well, ask them now if you want. That's okay. Pile them on. We'll get after it. But thanks for hanging out with us, spending your Saturday with us, letting us know if you're here, and we'll get some questions. Someone is working the first half of a double.
Shane
McClure, my man. Your link has expired. If you are aware of the link, if you're not aware of the link, it's okay. We got you. Let's hope the first half goes smooth and the back half goes even better, brother. Those doubles can get you. So I hope it goes well for you. Molly's here. She says, happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, Molly. We're doing the thing. We're hanging out. We're kind of excited about this call. We got a couple questions, and we got something big to announce later. A surprise, if you will. If it works. We don't know if it's going to work or not. We'll see. Coach Kelly is here. Hey, happy Saturday. What's going on, Coach? We're just hanging out. We did a little road trip, a little lunch trip yesterday, and you know how, like, at work they would say you would come down with what they would refer to as anal glaucoma, where it was, I don't see my ass going to work next shift, right? You remember that? We had a little bit of that when it came to going live. We had a little bit of a Finn Lival glaucoma, where we couldn't see our ass going live yesterday. So by the time we did the math on when we were going to get home and what a round trip to go eat and see my parents to Orlando was like, we're like, you know what, man? We're not going live on a Friday.
Considering we rolled up at like 5:27 in the driveway,
right?
Probably wouldn't have been a good idea.
Probably wouldn't have been a good idea. So we're a Saturday Q&A today. And, you know, lo and behold, you got a couple questions.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the trick, right? Is just shake it up a little bit. But since we do not want to take too much of anyone's time on a Saturday, let's get some questions.
Yeah.
You need a question? Let's do it. This first question is about budgeting for a big meal. And Roxy asks, I have a question for the Friday Q&A. It's Saturday, sorry. And she goes, and it's specifically for you. And I know by that she means me, because she had hit me the DMs when I was on my phone. I said, hey, could you post that for me so I don't forget it? Guys, if you have anything that's pertinent or it's important or you want us to not forget it, send it via email or post it in the Q&A, because on our phones, when I'm on it, and it's a mess. So thank you, Rox, for posting your question. But her question says, it's specifically for you. I want to know what you do to prepare for one of those epic dinners you are going to Friday, which was yesterday. It was actually an epic lunch, but that requires even different planning. So this is a good one. She goes, do you save all your macros for the day for that meal? Do you save macros from other days of the week for that meal? Do you do extra workouts before you have that meal and afterwards? And
I like this question.
And this question is pretty wild, because what I'm going to tell you is going to blow your mind. And what I do to plan and prepare for big meals like this is the same thing I do every other single day of my life. And that's, I plan my day around the meal.
Yeah.
That's it, right? That's it. I put the meal in my Fitness Pal that means the most to me first, and everything else around the day gets built around it. So what does that look like in the case of Tejas de Brasil? Which none of those accents were correct. literally probably the worst you could do. And that's what I'm here for. What did I do in that context? Well, kind of a little bit of a cheat in the system here because we go there so often that we know the menu, we know what we're going to eat, we know how we're going to budget these things, and we know how or we know what tools we have to backfill with. So if you saw Ann's post today, she summed up how we did it, or we do's it, and how we track it. She put the picture of her food scale with our green card and our red card, and we come prepared to track these things. So there's a billion different ways you can do this, but since you asked specifically how I did this, I will explain it to you. Normally, when I want to have a big, giant honker of a meal, I will look at when it falls in the day. Since this fell during lunch, 1 o'clock reservation, I had a really good idea on how I was going to feel leading up to eating it and how I was going to feel after eating it. If this would have been a dinner situation, it probably would have changed my plans. So the timing of it matters. But since it was lunch, what I did yesterday was had protein waffles in the morning to front load my protein, had the majority of my meal allocated for Texas Day Brazil, and planned a buffer in the form of popcorn and a creamy at the end of the day. Now, if you've been following along to this guy on First and Fuel for a while, you will know that typically I eat three meals, the big three, as we like to call them, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and two snacks that get stuck in between those meals. They actually get stuck in between the meals like this. So breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner, snack. That is the typical modus operandi for this guy. You will notice that it's different on jiu-jitsu nights because it goes breakfast, snack, lunch, big dinner. Why? Spending my budget the way that best suits my lifestyle. First and Field Notes coming up on that here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
Check your First and Field Notes. Where's my button? Where's my button? Is this my button? Check your First and Field Notes, fam. So, unpacking it all back, getting back on subject, Tejas de Brahil. So I had protein waffles, allocated a giant whomping of calories, and then left a buffer for my snack at the end of the day in terms of a creamy and popcorn. Why did I make those choices? Well, one, even at Texas Day Brazil, a location where you are known for getting the meat sweats, you still want to prioritize protein because you're not guaranteed to get enough, especially when you're balancing your calories.
And especially when a lot of those meats are fat heavy.
And when you've been measuring and managing your food for 9 years, you may think you can go eat 4,700 calories, but you really can't, because once you start eating and you're talking and you're chewing your food responsibly and you're not just wolfing everything down, you're using all your strategies, you start getting full. And you start feeling full. So you want to make sure you prioritize your protein. That's what I want to make sure. Why did I pick those snacks? Because they're very easy to dial in based on my choices at Texas Day Brazil. While I did go in with a plan, while I did go in with an idea of what I wanted to eat, I may or may not choose to deviate from that plan if something looks extra delicious. Maybe I grab a little bit extra of the potato salad. Maybe I have an extra cheesy bread, queijo de pau. Maybe I pass on the chimichurri, like I did yesterday. So you want to have a buffer based on your best laid intentions in the plan for the meal and what actually occurs. So having a creamy and having popcorn gives me the ability to have salty popcorn with kernel seasonings, or make it a protein popcorn if I want to make it heavier. It gives me the ability to, when I'm having my wind it down collagen beverage with psyllium husk, to add additional fish oil to it if I need fat. It lets me add additional carbs to my creamy if I want to. It lets me plan my day around that meal. So that is how I prepare for an epic dinner or an epic lunch. I plan for it. I make sure I go in with a plan. I make sure I execute the plan the best of my ability, but I also make sure I have a buffer and some backfill in the event things don't go according to plan and I don't paint myself into a corner.
So the first part of your question was technically mostly correct. Do you save all of your macros for the day for that meal? He saves a large portion of his macros for that meal while building in a buffer afterwards in case plans change or you have to drop a snack, add a snack, whatever it is. So,
caveat, if it was dinner, you would have seen that shift. It would have gone to coffee and hate for breakfast.
Yeah.
Something small on the road, so I'm not super hangry when it comes to dinner. Then the same allocation for dinner, and then the same buffer at the end of the day. So that's the difference it would be if it was dinner or lunch. Your next question. Do you save macros from other days of the week for that meal? I do not engage in a Ponzi scheme with myself where I try to borrow macros from one day and pay them back on another day.
It never tends to work out.
Right. That whole, what was it? I'm dating myself here. The Popeye cartoon, Wimpy. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. How many hamburgers did Wimpy ever pay for? The answer is zero, fam. Zero hamburgers. We do not support, nor do we believe in the whole Bernie Madoff scheme with yourself. We're not gonna save. You get 24-hour window and the calorie budget closes. Why is that? It's not that biologically the math might work out. It's that in practical application, most people are pretty horrible at actually keeping an accurate inventory like that and then actually executing it. So no, I do not get any extra on that day if I starve myself leading up to it. The reality in that scenario, in that situation is if I choose to go over that day, I need to accept responsibility for the outcome of my decisions. Have I done that in the past? Yeah, no factor, because I made an informed choice and I chose to do it. Do I do it often? No, because it's pretty easy to find balance and anything I can't fit in today will be there for me next time.
It's just, it's a dangerous kind of game you get into with that because let's say you decided to save calories for 3 days leading up to this one meal and let's say you wrote them down because I'm never gonna remember it. And even if I write it down, where did I write it down? I lost it, I don't know. I'm personally never gonna be able to remember what I think I was banking to lead up to this meal. Let's say you remember, you know exactly how much more you have saved. You go to this meal and you get there and you eat it plus what you saved and then there's something else and you're like, oh, that looks really good and I want it. Then you start to play this game about, well, I can have that because I'll just take it from tomorrow or the next, and then it just continues to roll. And then it becomes this endless just drama of, well, what did I have and what did I not have and when did I bank that and how much did I bank and what if I bank it tomorrow and the next day? It's like this weird up and down and then you're never going to remember. We can't remember where we set our keys. How are you going to remember what you banked and then if you choose to go over what you need the next day? And it turns into this weird, awful cycle and at the end of the day, it's never going to come out in the wash. Like you're never going to get it accurately. It's just not smart.
Rollover calories.
And it's giving me like chest pain even thinking of having to do this. Like the stress it causes, I can't imagine.
And then the last part of your question. Do you do extra workouts before you have that meal and afterwards? We're kind of like on the downward spiral towards an unhealthy relationship with food
right.
With the last question. And now adding in the kicker, an unhealthy relationship with exercise. No, absolutely not. My training does not vary based on my intake. My intake is done to support my training. Training is celebrating what your body can do. Exercise is movement for the purpose of a specific or a general goal, to feel good, to get stronger, to get faster, to look better in your birthday suit, whatever it is. Food is there to fuel it. We're not going to try and again play a game where we're going to punish ourselves with exercise so we can make up for the sins of overeating, and we're not going to try to jog around in place so we can earn an extra cookie. That's not something that I feel sets up sustainable and enjoyable behaviors or patterns. So it's not something I choose to engage in. And again, biologically, if I do this whole live call like this, am I theoretically burning more calories? Yeah. Do I want to do that? Do you guys want to watch that? It's kind of silly. So instead, why don't I just track some feedback, do the activity I want to do during this live call, and feed myself appropriately for that.
And we've got people in the family who have been on that cycle of, oh, I've got to run today because I want to eat this or that, and I'm going to eat this piece of pizza, and then I'm going to go run 6 miles. Like, it becomes this totally negative cycle. And the same thing that we said to the last part applies to this one. The amount of stress that you're going to cause yourself worrying about, oh, I have to exercise because I ate that piece of pizza. And it's like, training and food are two separate things, and they should be looked at as two separate components of your lifestyle, not tied together in a weird negative self-punishment way.
And the other thing is, too, is like you said, do I do a workout afterwards? What happens if I go eat this meal and I tell myself I'm going to work out afterwards,
right,
and I'm so full I can't move? Or it's raining and I was going to go for a run and now I can't.
Then we start the bargaining process. Well, I'll just do it tomorrow. Will you really? No, maybe.
And tomorrow,
maybe.
Never comes. Right. And no. So, no, we don't do that. What we do is do the same thing we do every other single day of our lives, as we plan to make it fit. And when you plan to make things fit, it's amazing how they fit and you continue to make progress.
There is a little side note to this, because a little bit of bubble bursting. Larger humans eat more food, right? They use more calories, they expend more energy, they are a larger body. So this might mean that if you are a smaller human, smaller females especially, you may not be able to have everything you want when you go out to eat. There's a reason I bring my scale. There's a reason you saw that entire first plate was veggies and shrimp. Now, there was a lot of fat in that plate. They oil everything. This is why we overestimate. But there's a reason I did that, because by the time the meat got there, I was already getting full. And I know that I could eat 6 plates of meat if I really tried. Can I afford to do that with my calorie budget? No. And I'm a larger human. So you got to kind of be realistic with who you are, your body, your expectations, your activity level, the food that you actually need. Because, yeah, it changes based on you.
And at the end of the day, you need to go into these meals with the intention of, what is the purpose behind the meal? We go there for a couple reasons. One, it's tasty, right? But the primary driving force for us to go to Texas Day Brazil is to see my parents.
Your parents love it.
It's halfway in between where they live and where we live. And it also is conducive to a very long lunch. If we went and met them at White Castle and we're in and out in 7 minutes, probably not going to stack up for either of us to make that drive, right? We were in the car, about six and a half hours from the time we left our house and got back to have food with drive time. So for us to spend 2 hours in a car, we want to at least spend half the amount of time we're in the car with our people. So it's conducive to a long time for us to hang out and catch up. We usually go to celebrate some sort of holiday. Father's Day, my birthday, her birthday, random Tuesday, whatever it is. So what is the purpose of that meal? It's not to set myself backwards. It's to enjoy the company of others. And I do not have to share their plate or their choices or eat everything in the house. So we want to make sure that we know what the purpose of the meal is. Because if the purpose of the meal for you is to eat every single thing you possibly can, then there's probably no way you're going to be able to plan accordingly for that and still make the progress you desire. That's where the informed decision comes into play.
And there's a whole nother live call topic to do on that, if anybody wants it, on the purpose of going somewhere to make it a challenge to eat everything you can. There's something else driving that, and that is a whole nother topic in and of itself. That's not the reason you're doing it. There are other reasons.
Let's see what Coach,
start listening to them.
Coach Kelly has here to say. Separating food and training has been a game changer for me. I used to think calorie count for exercise was accurate. That laughy
That's
emoji. Yeah, that is, woo, it is not. There's so many factors that go into that too. We could dive into that sometime too. Maybe that'll be a first in field notes. Did someone say first in field notes? I said first in field notes. I used to think, Finn has saved me from my vicious cycle of trying to outwork a bad diet or outwork out a bad diet. Yeah. Been there, done that, have a bunch of XL t-shirts that no longer fit from my failed attempts to outwork my intake. So, yeah, and that's why we bring that up, man. We bring that up a lot on holidays. People are like, oh, man, I did the turkey trot so I could go eat 18 plates. Doesn't work that way, y'all. You walk in that 5K does not let you eat 5K in calories. I promise you that. The next topic, this question wasn't directly asked to us, but I wanted to touch base on this based on seeing it in the group. And this is just basically some tips on travel. And by tips on travel, I got a specific one that I want to dive into here. One of our family members posted in the group, Megan Bryan, that she is going on a freaking 12-day trip. And she's excited about it. She's been looking over her plans. And she said the bakeries are adding up, right? So they have bakeries in other countries, I guess. This is news to me. Not big on drinking. That's good for you. Never thought I would say that. We know that's been a huge part of your success. Not having liquid lunches and you know, whatever. And
that's a lot of saving
budgeting
calories.
Your stuff and saving your calories. That's good to hear. I'm packed with protein, so I should be able to hit that goal no problem. Another win for planning. She says, it's going over on fats and carbs that makes me a bit nervous.
Well, you are in one of the bakery capitals of the world
on your trip. You did say bakery. She goes, so someone here just went on a big trip. Tom Sangiacomo, 3 weeks in the Mediterranean, a cruise and a stop in Italy. Killed it. How did you track all those yummy treats when you have no idea what's in them? Not throwing in the towel, but I dream of touring these Michelin-rated places for years. Can someone please calm my nerves about totally screwing this up? The answer is yes, you can calm your nerves about totally screwing this up because you are 100% in charge of your actions, which determine your outcomes, and of everything you pilot into your gullet by using the old fork plane. So you are in charge. You can come back like Tom did, well under the acceptable range that he was willing to make informed decisions over and come back heavy, or you can come back with tons of unwanted souvenirs that make you look back on that trip and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. How you choose to do that is up to you. How do you track all these yummy treats and what's in them? You do the best you can while erring on the side of caution. I believe if I'm not too far mistaken in the fact that you mentioned all these bakeries, you are a baker or you love baked goods or baked goods means something to you. And I'm pretty sure you've had a baked good during this process.
Sorry, dog just whomped himself on the desk.
So I want you to track these crazy baked goods like you would any other crazy baked good here. Find the name of it, find a comparable alternative, put it in my Fitness Pal, and plan your day around it. If you're already looking at the bakeries, do you know what you want to get from them? Do you know what you want to try from them? Do you want to take the approach that Tom said, where you sample things and not eat all of them? Having a bite of a bear claw, not that that's a fancy pastry, but I mean, it's just the first thing that popped in my head. Having a bite of a bear claw is not eating the whole bear claw. Having a piece of an eclair is not eating the whole eclair, especially if it's a giant Publix eclair that looks more like a foot-long Subway sub than an actual eclair. You get to control these things. How do you track them? You err on the side of high fat, high calorie, because they're probably going to be using all the butter.
These are French patisseries. This is butter land.
I can't even say that word, patisserie. So, you know, it's just like Tejas. So the thing is like you just err on it and you add some butter to it. Now, the tip I wanted to give you is this. Biology doesn't change just because we're on another part of the country or the world or in a different time zone. So your calorie budget for you to come home and make progress and not set yourself back is what it is. It's not probably going to be the easiest thing to walk by all these temptations and sights and sounds, but it probably isn't going to be the easiest thing if you come home with 15 pounds of unwanted souvenirs either. You're going to have to balance these things. You're going to have to be willing to ask yourself the tough questions. How much progress am I willing to give up? Versus how much food am I willing to not experience? And there are no right or wrong answers for this. This is just a decision you're going to have to really make and really ask yourself that is this trip worth X amount of days, weeks, or months of progress you're going to have to make up in the end? And for someone it may be, and for someone else it may not be. If the point of this trip, the entire point of it is to eat at every bakery you've read about on the interwebs, then you're probably going to have to reconcile the fact that it's going to take a month or two or three or four or six to get back to where you are when you get back home from this trip. That's just the nature of things. We can't just increase our caloric needs or expenditure because we want to. It'd be awesome if we could, because then I would really get to eat a whole lot more and it'd be great. We also can't be, like Ann alluded to, we can't be larger, more athletic, more leanly muscled humans than we are, so we can have a higher metabolic rate. We just can't do these things. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to determine what's worth it and what isn't. And there's a million different strategies that you can adopt to do this, whether it's some of the ones we just talked about planning our days around big meals, or whether it's I'm going to cut everything in half and feed the birds with the other half. I'm going to share stuff with friends and family. I'm going to make new friends while I'm there so I can share stuff with them. A million different ways you can do it. But at the end of the day, the tip I want to give you is what happens in Paris doesn't stay in Paris, right? Make choices you can accept the outcome of. And if that means eating all the things, we support you, provided you're truly okay and willing to accept the outcome of those decisions. That is what it's all about.
I will tell you something big with traveling is we get really excited when we travel. You're in a new place and there's all these fun foods to eat and bakeries, and you're going to London and there's going to be all kinds of food sources. Stop to think, what can I not get at home? Because you're going to find that a lot of these things in bakeries are going to be, there's donuts, there's cupcakes, there's muffins, and while they might be good, are they going to be the best cupcake or donut or muffin you've ever had? Maybe, maybe not. So maybe give some thought to, when you're at these bakeries, what are they known for? What is the one thing that they're known for? What do they do really well? Because, you know, we had gelato when we were in Italy. It was good. Would I do it again? Maybe, but I wouldn't give up, you know, a food budget or blow my food budget for it. I don't remember a lot of the food we had. I remember some of it that I would eat again, right? But that's a very small amount. So think about what you really can't get at home, because while something might be good, is it going to be worth blowing your budget for? There's probably quite a few things that are not. So find the specialty things that are worth it to you. A lot of it looks good. It's pretty. And they'll serve, you know, 800 things to you if you ask for them, but make it worth it.
One of the things Anna and I like to do when we travel is we plan the entire day around a meal out.
Yeah.
Or maybe a meal and a snack, because we look it up, we plan for it, we make it happen. Everything else in that day is something we can recognize. You know, it's funny, we're going to a jiu-jitsu camp in August up in Maine, and we're flying into Boston, renting a car, and driving down because that's the best way to do it. We heard it from the man, JP himself, and we did it last year, and it was awesome. But one of the first things Ann said when we talk about coming back or you know, whatever, driving back from the camp before we leave out, she's like, yeah, we get to Boston, we'll stop at that Chipotle.
We do it on the way up and on the way back.
And it's like, I laughed. It's like, oh, you go to Boston, what'd you eat? Chipotle. And we're like, hell yeah, we eat Chipotle, because one, yeah, we like it, and two, we know how to make it fit. And three, that gives us all this ability to fit in something else that might be regional, local, amazing, that we can't get anywhere else, because we have a constant we can count on. So that is truly how we travel. We look for where the things we recognize are to build the one meal out or the snack out that we don't get to experience all the time. We balance it with a constant that we can't experience. Sephra asks, while on a deficit, I've been nervous to eat out. We are going to Big Bear at the end of the month, and I know we will be eating out at least once. Hey, that's what we do.
Okay.
I plan on taking all my food. Question, would it be better to eat beforehand and have a soda, or try to account for a small portion?
Guess what the answer to this is. It depends. It depends on you. Sephra, there is no right or wrong answer here. I have done both. I have eaten beforehand and had just a soda at dinner. I have planned to eat at a restaurant. I've brought food to a restaurant and sat and ate because I knew that I could not make it work, but I also couldn't sit there and watch other people eat and not eat because it would make me feel all kinds of ways. So what's gonna work best for you? Do you know where you're going to eat? Do you guys have plans? Are there any restaurants you're dying to go to? if you have restaurants you're going to go to, start looking them up. See what you can make work. If you're going to bring the rest of your food, you should be able to set up your day in any which way you need to make it fit, provided you have the food sources that you need on hand. Can you go out, eat beforehand, and just have a soda? Yeah. Are you okay doing that? If you're okay doing that, yeah, do it. If the people you're with support you, as we hope they would, then yeah, nobody should care. Hey, I ate already. Tell them whatever you want. I don't care what you tell them. Hey, I wasn't feeling good, so I ate my food, and I'm here to support you. I'm here to hang out with you. Whatever's okay with you is what you should do.
What I'm going to say here is, you know, you said you've been nervous to eat out on a deficit. Don't be. Eat at places where you can recognize the food. Eat at places where you can account for it. And eat at places that help you look forward to staying on your plan. The juice isn't always worth the squeeze, right? You could go out to a restaurant in Big Bear, and provided you want to make the most progress in your deficit and you're going to stay on your deficit while you're on your trip, and order a $17 dry chicken breast, and you could eat it if you want to. Or you could eat your chicken breast, bring it with you, eat it beforehand, and have a soda, and not overpay for something you're not going to enjoy. Or you could say, man, that sounds really amazing. I'm going to hit up Coffee and Hate, have 3 bags of vegetables before I go in there, get the amount of X, Y, or Z that I can actually make fit, and enjoy it, and still make progress. No right or wrongs here. It's going to completely be up to you and what you want to, one, get from your process, and two, get from the trip. You know, a lot of times we associate travel with eating. And it's like, is that the point? Is that why we left our house? Did we leave our house to go eat? If so, I guess you got to eat, right? You've got to determine if that's worth it or not. But man, when I see people talking about vacation and they're eating in the same drive-thrus and chain restaurants that they eat at home, I'm not sure how you busted your calorie budget on that. I think it's because you just didn't care and you didn't want to make progress. And that's okay as long as you, not you, Sephra, just you in general, are okay with that. We support you.
I want to bring up one point too. This ties into basically everybody's question that's been asked. You don't have to continue eating something. If you go out, and this is going to be a big one for anybody who's traveling, anybody who goes out to eat, but especially Megan, you asked this question about traveling. If you are so excited about something and there's this awesome pastry and it looks so good and you get it and you take the first bite of it and you're like, okay, that's good. And you take another bite of it and you're like, it's good, but it's not great. You can stop eating. You don't have to eat it. Even if you planned for it, you can fill it in later. Jeez. That's a big thing, because you get it in front of you and you feel like, well, I planned for it, so I have to eat it, or I ordered it, so I have to eat it. No one's going to force feed you. You have the choice to stop and go, you know what? That is not worth my calories for today, and I'd rather have something later. That's totally okay.
Huge win right there. That's a big point that people don't think about often, is like, you don't have to eat. You don't have to eat at all.
It's hard to stop eating at some point. Even when something's not that great, it's hard to put it down. We're just in the habit of eating and finishing plates. You can say no. It's totally okay.
Just say no, in fact. Yeah. I've heard that somewhere. Berto says, definitely agree with the sampling method. I'm quick to use when will I ever be back here as justification for eating while on vacations to different countries. It's not a healthy way, but like Ann said, probably a lot of other reasons behind that mindset. The sampling split method has helped Christy and I big time. We like to get different things and split them so we can try more things. Smart. That's the same way we are too. Yeah absolutely, man. The more sharing is caring, as they like to say. And I think it's a great way to do it. And you know what, man? Again, just be honest with yourself and make a decision you're comfortable accepting. And that sometimes can be eat all the things.
Yeah.
Like, man, no one's here to say you can't do that. Just don't go yell at your coach when you come back for your choices, right? You can't yell at your coach for your choices, right? That's our biggest thing, man. We want you guys to enjoy your trips. And if that is what your trip is for, well, by all means, but just go into it knowing what could come out of it. That's all we're trying to say. Sephra says, that makes perfect sense. Thank you. Our first trip since son's injury, so we're excited. I'm also excited about making progress. So I'll definitely think about what will work best.
Perfect.
Balance. It's a constant act. So you just find what's worth it to you, and you roll with it. You let it be worth it to you, and you enjoy it.
And you guys always have the group, and it sounds like we're using it as a cliche to be like, well, lean on the group and lean on your family, but we really mean it. If you are out somewhere and you are just having like a moment, I've had these moments. I've had these meltdown moments where we're out, I'm tired or stressed or it's hot and we've been out all day and I want to eat all the things. Take a picture and put it in the group. Be like, guys, what would you do with this? I don't know how to track this. I don't know where I'm at. Take a picture, put it in the group. Email your coach. Reach out to somebody because...
Drop some menus in the group, man, yeah. if you're going ahead of time. Someone could tell you, like, hey, what do you think the leanest option is? Or what do you think the option, with the lowest calorie bang for the buck is? You probably need a bunch of different opinions, but hey, maybe you'll tell me something I want to eat. I don't know.
With people who've lived all over the world, I guarantee you, you'll have some suggestions that will work.
I have the Street Fighter all over the world in my head when you said that. All right, moving on, guys. We are finally excited to be able to announce the Wawa winner. I know you guys have been on the edge of your seats wondering who won. We're going to hope this works.
We apologize for the week delay. I underestimated the time that it would take to go through individually all of the last 2 months of posts of Wawa, check the tags, and make sure that I got everybody's name in there for every entry you made.
So we know who the winner is because we ran it. We ran this thing. What we're going to do now, if it works, I hope you guys get the audio. We're going to post this later in the group if it's an epic failure. But we got a little video.
We did. We videoed this like seconds before the call. We got our little randomizer and got it set up and filled out. And
so, let's see who the Wawa winner is.
Cross and
we'll be back to you guys in, 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Fingers crossed, guys. Here we go. First and family, it is the moment you've all been waiting for. Maybe not all of you, but whichever number of you that participated in the campaign to let Wawa know that we want our Jocko Fuel back on the shelves. You are the ones who've been waiting, and we are here to let you know who the Wawa winner is. Say that 10 times fast. Wawa winner. So what we did for everyone that participated, and if you didn't participate and you don't know what we're talking about, that's okay. This video won't be that important. What we did is we went through, and every time you followed the instructions, and over here, diligently went through and counted up every time you responded on every post you responded to, and we got all your names together. So every entry or every comment was an entry. So over here, you can see we have every one of your names. Every time you voted, you're all in here. Even the people that only made one post, and the people of you who made one post less than I did, which good job. So a lot of you guys made a lot of posts. We really want to thank you a lot for it. And to make it fun, we found this awesome Wheel of Names website. So what we're going to do is every one of your names for every entry you did is in here. There were 219 total entries.
That's a lot of entries.
Yeah, it's a lot of entries. So thank you guys for supporting. And while there can be only one recipient of the prizes, the 4 weeks and the Jocko Fuel yet to be determined prize pack we're going to give you guys, you're all winners in our book. So thank you guys for supporting First In. Thank you guys for supporting Jocko Fuel. And thank you guys for being awesome. So without further ado, let's click this wheel. Do you want to click it? Do you want to be the clicker?
Click it.
All right. It's Ann's fault. If you didn't win, it's Ann's fault. All right. Here we go. It's spinning. It's spinning. It's coming up. It's coming up. And the winner is... Oh my God. Anna Patterson. Anna freaking Patterson. You won. So, there you go. Anna won. Yep. You're the winner. Stand by. You'll be hearing from one of us now, maybe, sooner, later, soon. Whatever it is. You're the big wiener. So thanks for supporting Jocko Fuel and the campaign against injustice that Wawa was culpable in, since they accepted the money from Big Pepsi and Coke. Oops, I wasn't supposed to name those guys. But Anna, you're the winner. So we'll reach out to you soon and let you know what you got to do. All right? Awesome. Thanks, everybody, for participating. And congrats. Maybe you'll win next time.
You guys heard it.
You guys heard it first. Anna frickin' Patterson. Big wiener.
I'm surprised all that worked.
Big wiener. I'm surprised it did too.
Technology.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Sometimes we get it right. But Anna, you're the winner. So congratulations. You're not on this call, but that's okay. You're still a winner in my book. The Banff is cheering. Woohoo. That's right. We lift others up even when we wish we were lifting ourselves up.
We were doing good things and supporting Wawa, and we love you guys for supporting them, supporting us, and voting.
Sephir is excited.
If you haven't, Anna freaking Patterson.
AFP.
If you haven't seen Wawa's Instagram today, go check it out. I thought it was funny because they made a post, and it's like a pie chart. And like 93% of the pie chart is red, and the red one stands for people asking us to bring things back. And I was like,
That's us.
Probably you guys.
That's us.
Yep.
219. Shots fired across the bow, not counting ours.
Over 2 months.
219 shots fired towards Wawa.
We are clearly
Wawa.
Not in there. And our coaches, we love you guys. You're clearly not in the raffle either. Sorry.
Sorry, coaches. welcome to the club. Everybody thinks they want to be a coach, so they realize they can't get no damn Jocko fuel. Molly Monster says, way to go, Anna. Way to go. Way to go, AP. Kelly Mulder, congratulations, Anna. Yeah, congrats. AFP the FNG. I kind of like all the initials that that Anna's getting behind her name now, or turning her name into and adding to her name. So yeah, so we're excited. The wheel of names worked out well. We didn't really know exactly how to randomize it, but you could see all those names around that wheel. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I clearly didn't edit the stutters out of the video. Oops. It's all right. There's only one.
Who stuttered?
There's only one.
That was a dramatic pause, sweetheart.
Extra long dramatic pause.
Extra long. That's what they call me.
God. Welcome to First In.
Dramatic pauses, people. Y'all calm it down.
Yeah, congratulations, Anna. Thank you guys for supporting Wawa. They appreciate it more than you will ever know.
Yeah. Not supporting Wawa. Talk about a stutter. You said thank you for supporting Wawa.
Oh, supporting
we don't support
Jocko
Wawa.
Yeah, it's been a day.
Guys, what is Ann?
These are live, too.
I give you a hint. Fired. Hey, that's what Ann is.
First time today, 6:14 p.m. It's cool. It's good.
Pete, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I'm sorry that she said she supports Wawa. You know we support Jocko.
That was 100% my bad.
Well, on that note, fam, if anybody has anything for us, let us know. I promise I will not let Ann say the wrong thing.
No.
I got this. I got this. Jonathan, Take the Wheel. I believe there was a song about that. No? Anyway, if you have anything for us, let us know. If not, we are going to slide on over into our team channels and have a little powwow with the team. Do a live call, a little talky-talk with the coaches, the probies, and the FNGs. And then get to dinner. And then get to
sleep.
Sleep. Yeah, that's our exciting lives. Today was one of those days where, as we were both standing at our respective computers, working for every second of the Saturday, that I think we both kind of were like, man.
Well, we wanted to go play yesterday, see your parents, eat Texas State Brazil, so
you sometimes
know.
You got to play catch up. Speaking of playing catch up, there's an entire three things that get done on Friday that I didn't do today that I was supposed to. So it looks like Sunday will be a fun day too for us. But you know what, man? At the end of the day, it is worth it. The thing we're working on most today, I'll click it again.
Field notes.
Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your enemies.
Tell everybody.
Because maybe if they join the Field Notes faction, they'll get their shit together and they won't be your enemies anymore. And then they can be our friends and join our fam. And if not, well, they'll probably just unsubscribe.
Maybe they'll learn something.
And that's okay too. Coach Kelly says, you guys are awesome and we love you for that. Coach Kelly just says that so Ann doesn't forget to pay her.
We are awesome because of you guys.
That's
really.
It.
Like it's.
That's it. 100.
Yeah.
Insert 100% red emoji
yeah.
Right now. I'd do it, but it would take a long time. So just know in my heart, I'm 100 in you guys. On that note, y'all, I think we're going to get out of here. You guys know to come to the family reunion. You guys know to come to Muster with us.
Which is just about to sell out of hotel rooms. So if you are thinking about Muster, you better get on it.
You guys know about the First In Field Notes. And you guys know how to support First In by supporting yourself. As well as First In for the win. So I'm not going to talk about it. We are going to get out of here, though, since you guys seem to be questioned out and are ready to enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
Good questions.
So thanks for hanging out with us, guys. Thanks for being awesome. Thanks for watching the Wheel of Names and supporting AFP in her victory. And thanks for being First In, y'all. You guys are awesome, and we appreciate the hell out of you guys. So have a great Saturday, and we'll see you soon. Bye.